Number four, Philippians chapter number four. If you're here this morning, we talked a little bit about different things that will ruin your thankfulness. We talked about a couple of different things that maybe we didn't consider or wouldn't have considered. And we talked about comparison. If we compare what we have to other people, that many times that can take away our thankfulness. We talked about living in a spirit of expectation, expecting one thing and getting something different, that many times can cause someone to be unthankful. We also talked about forgetfulness, how many times people just forget to be thankful. And this evening we're going to look at one more, and the title of this evening's message is Don't Let Worry Ruin Your Thankfulness. Don't let worry ruin your thankfulness. This idea of worry or being anxious is something that's very, very real. There's many people that are on medications to help with anxiety and help with this worry. And it is something that the Bible tells us to be anxious or be careful for nothing in verse number 6. It's saying that we're not supposed to worry. And that's something when we're worrying, we're not in the right frame of mind. And when we're not in the right frame of mind, we're not able to be thankful. So this is one of those things that can steal away that thankfulness and that spirit that we're supposed to have. I'm going to begin this evening's message with those verses from the book of Psalms that we did this morning. In Psalms 100, they're familiar, but just listen as we say them, and it's because it puts a right perspective. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. We explained a little bit of that this morning. But this verse is where we want to focus because of the perspective it gives us. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is not he that hath made us, and not it is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Tonight when we come and look at these verses, we're going to say, how in the world can I never worry? How in the world can I rejoice? How in the world can I be someone who takes my worry and makes it into prayers? How can I trust in him? It's because God gives us these commands and God gives us these exaltations. And he's saying, remember this, that the Lord, he is the one that is God. He's the one that made us. He understands everything we're going through. He is in his sovereignty, has complete control. We have not made ourselves. Sometimes we like to think that way. Sometimes we like to feel like, hey, I know what's best. I have my right thinking in it. I'm the one I can handle taking care of myself. But the Bible says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. We belong to him. If he asks us to do certain things, we should be willing to respond to that. And the sheep of his pasture. And that idea of sheep is him being our great shepherd. He leads us and guides us. And he says in this journey that he's taking us through, that we're not supposed to be anxious and that we're supposed to be rejoicing. That's what we should be doing. And then he gives us these verses at the end of the psalm. Says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So to me, I always, that's one of my favorite psalms all the time, but especially around this Thanksgiving season, it gives us a perspective of putting everything where it's supposed to be. He's God. He's the one that created us. We didn't do it ourselves. We belong to him. And with that perspective, let's look at this passage of Scripture when the Lord gives us some encouraging words on how not to let worry ruin our thankfulness. Verse number 4, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. To give you a little commentary on this passage of Scripture before we dive into the message, this idea of rejoice is talking about joy, talking about having gladness. You see where it says rejoice in what? It doesn't say we have to rejoice in our circumstances. It doesn't say that we have to rejoice in other people. It says there's an object of our praise. There's an object of our joy. And what is that? It says rejoice in the what? The Lord. So that's the point when some people say, how in the world can I always be joyful? How can I always be rejoicing? It's because we rejoice in the Lord always. And I know sometimes the circumstances that we go through, the Bible says that we should, in all things we should be thankful. But that joyous rejoicing, sometimes it's hard and sometimes it's tough. And we're not always going to be rejoicing in our circumstances, but we can have joy in the Lord always. verse number, and remember where Paul was writing this. He was writing this from prison. He is writing this to a church he loves. He's getting ready to talk about some other things and some even tough things. And the first couple verses of this chapter talks about two ladies that are not getting along, and he's trying to correct them and trying to help them, tell them to be in the same mind in the Lord. And then he gives us this, he's exalting them. He's saying, hey, look, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then he says, let your moderation. This word moderation is talking about a contentment, a gentleness, a meekness. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men, not just some. The contented spirit that we have, let it be done to all men. And then it says, the Lord is at hand. There's two different schools of thought on this, and I think both are appropriate. But the reason why we can rejoice in the Lord always, and the reason why we can always treat people with gentleness and meekness and have a spirit of contentment around all men, is because the Lord is at hand. And that means that the Lord is with us. And the Lord has promised us that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We've never been alone. And that we can respond in a way that's going to please God because we know he's here with us. Secondly, the second school of thought is the Lord is at hand could refer to the fact that he could come back at any moment, that that Christ could return. And when Christ returns to this earth, that we want to make sure that he's going to be pleased with what we're doing and that he is at hand, because the time is coming that this world may have people that are hard to deal with, like the people in verse number 2 that didn't get along. And in this world, there might be circumstances that are difficult and hard, but at any moment in time, Christ could return and everything changes. Verse number 7, it says, verse number 6, be careful for nothing. And this is where you get this thought of be anxious for nothing. What it literally means is don't worry. You say, well, what is worry? One definition I thought was good was worry is a troubled state of mind resulting from concern about current or potential difficulties. Listen to this again. Worry is a troubled state of mind resulting from concern about current or potential difficulties. It comes from the old English word that means to strangle. It was used to refer to the practice of wolves actually killing sheep by biting them around the neck and then strangling their prey to death. You say, well, that sounds kind of gross. And that's what worry does to many individuals. It literally will cause them to worry, and it will choke and strangle their physical, many times physical problems that happen because of worries, but also drain our spiritual life right out of us. Worry will choke the life right out of us. And, you know, I'm not going to try to stand up here and act like everything's perfect and good. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible even gives us cautions. The Bible talks about the different troubles, and that how man is born of woman. And, you know, I know the exact verses, but talking about the rest of the troubles they're going to be facing for the rest of their lives, he even tells us that anyone who lives godly will suffer persecution. He told us that, and there's going to be times of trials in this world, and times of heartaches, and times of hardships. And of course, we don't need to be told that. We face that. We hear prayer requests, and we see examples of this all around us. We see examples of this in the world that's around us. So we see that in the families that we live with. We see that in the church families that we have. There is going to be problems. But he's saying that we should not be careful or anxious about these things. Why is that? It's because the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. George Mueller said, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. I'll say that once again. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. Worry, being overly concerned about an issue or a potential difficulty, means that we're not leaving it in God's hands. Fear will cancel out our faith, but faith can also cancel out our fear. And when the scriptures are saying here, be careful for nothing, this is a battle that rages in our minds and that rages in our hearts, that the devil would like to take our trials and our circumstances and our hardships. He would like to ruin us with them. God wants to refine us through our troubles and our circumstances and our hardships. He wants us to make us more like Christ. The devil wants to ruin us. So that when the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but then he gives an answer. He says, we know there's going to be hardships. We know there's going to be hard times. He says, but in everything by prayer, this is what we're supposed to do with them. We're supposed to take those concerns and in everything, and it says in everything, and that means everything. It doesn't mean just in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Simply put, that's what we're supposed to do. Now, how can we do that? How can we make it so simple? How can we make it so easy that we've given over to God and just leave them with God? It's because of what we learn in verse number three in Psalms 100. Know ye that he is God. He is God. He is the one that made us, not we ourselves. We are his people. We come to this realization that he is the creator God, and he knows everything that we're going through. He understands everything we're going through. He sees the beginning from the end. And if we make our requests and bring our requests to God, we leave them with God because he is God. And he is the one that's made us. And we did not make ourselves. And that we can trust him as the sheep of his pasture. And then it continues on. It says, and that we're supposed to, by prayer, which is a general calling out to God, and supplications, which is reference to a persistent prayer life, with thanksgiving. We're supposed to be doing this with a thankful heart. Thankful for what? Well, thankful for all the things God has done for us and how God's going to handle the situation. It says, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse number 7, it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Something the world does not understand. Something that even our own human mind and our own fleshly ways, we cannot understand it. It says, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So it's saying there that the peace of God, that God is going to keep our hearts and God is going to keep our mind through Christ Jesus. There is a promise that's found there. And then you go to verse number 9, it says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight as we look at this thought. Don't let worry ruin your thankfulness. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that tonight's message is something that is needed and needed to be heard on a regular basis, that worry is something that is a sin and something we need to work with, and we need to know how to replace that worry with something. And tonight, Lord, help us as we look in your word, help these three thoughts to be something that helps us replace that worry and that anxiety. And Lord, help us to trust in you. Help us to rejoice. Help us to learn to pray. Lord, we want to be people that are right with you. We want to do what's right. We want the blessings of God on our hearts. We want the blessings of God on our life. And Lord, we don't want to be people that are tossed to and fro, and those that are frantic and those that are overwhelmed with the concerns of this world. But instead, help us to be people that have that peace of God that passeth all understanding, so we can point men and women and boys and girls to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So when we consider some of the things that steal away our thankfulness, as we talked about this morning, those couple things about when we compare and when we expect and when we forget, when we come to this moment about worry, it's a mental thing. It's a thought process. And one of the greatest battlefields of our lives will be with our thoughts, what we think about. That's when you see, I know we didn't read verse number 8, but it tells us what we should be thinking about and those things we should be considering. But the Bible speaks about our thought lives as something that should be brought into captivity. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So what the scripture is saying there is that we're going to cast down imaginations. You know what many times what worry is imagining what could happen. Many times I've heard quotes of different people using different percentages. I was on the phone last night with my dad, and my dad sometimes asks me, what are you preaching about the next day or a couple days from now? And he says, I heard before that 90% of things you worry about never happens. And I've heard, you know, different figures, but the truth is, the things that we worry the most about oftentimes never happen. And what we do is we bring imaginations and we exalt things against the knowledge of God. And we have the knowledge of God. We know that He's God. We know He's the one that made us. We know that we didn't make ourselves. We know that we're His people. We know that we're the sheep of His pasture. But then we come to this point and we worry because we think everything depends upon us. We think that everything is all about us. And if we don't do something, and if we don't fix it, and if we don't do this and we don't do that, that this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen, and then all the world is going to fall apart. Like, God is not in control at all. And I know there is scripture for praying and casting our burdens, and there's scripture about bearing one another's burdens. There is points of seeking God and searching for God and asking God to reveal His will for our lives. But there is also a point where the scriptures are saying here that looking to God and giving something over to the Lord is one thing. But taking it with you is something that is going to cause you to bring up those imaginations. And everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, when people think that they're the ones that have to fix it, that's when worry comes. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So what the scripture is saying there, instead of worrying about it, we should need to bring those thoughts into the captivity, and God gives us a chance to replace those thoughts of worry, those thoughts of anxiousness, those thoughts of anxiety with doing some different things. And in this verse, these verses we looked at, there's three different things that I think we should do instead of worrying. The first thing is rejoice instead of worrying. Rejoice instead of worrying. Joy is not an emotional response to circumstances. It is a chosen response to the unchanging nature of God. Joy is not an emotional response to circumstance. It is a chosen response to the unchanging nature of God. Even in adverse circumstances, we can choose to rejoice when we remember who God is. No matter what the circumstance is, we can always rejoice in the Lord. That's what Paul is saying here. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. There are some people that we really can't rejoice in because of what they do and how they make us feel. But there is a person, there is a God that we can always find joy in because we've made a choice that because of God who does not change is something that we can always rejoice in. What comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us, our view of God, our view of who He is and where He sits on that throne. A.W. Tozer said this quote, and I enjoy it. I'm sure we've said it before, and it's a little deep, but it's something that I think could help us understand rejoicing in the Lord. The history of mankind will probably show that no people has ever risen above its religion, and man's spiritual history will positively demonstrate that no religion has ever been greater than its idea of God. Worship is pure and base as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God. For this reason, the gravest question about the church is always God Himself. And the most portentous fact about any man is not what he at a given time may say or what he may do, but what he in his deep heart conceives God to be like. What you consider God and how you see God will determine what you will do for God. If you see God as a big God, a God who loves us and God who cares for us, a God who we should rejoice in, a God that is able to control all things and do all things, it's not about what I say, it's not about what I do, but how I view God is going to determine how I react to God. And it's going to determine how I react to my circumstances. Rejoicing in the Lord is choosing to remember and focus on God's unchanging attributes. Circumstances change, but God never changes. It is our focus is on Jesus Christ and His attributes and His blessings. Then to rejoice in Him is appropriate at all times. Being able to be rejoiceful and joyful is at all times because we serve a God that does not change. Even in a moment of sadness, yesterday when people were saying goodbye to the memory of Miss Sandy and they were saying goodbye to her and saying goodbye, people could rejoice in that because they knew where Miss Sandy, because of her faith and because of the testimony of the Bible, is that we can believe that she's in heaven today with the Lord. That, why is that? Are we rejoicing that we'll not see her again on this earth? Of course not. But we're rejoicing in the fact that we have a God that's given us promises. And it's written throughout His word. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord will fulfill all thy petitions. Psalms 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. If the Lord is our strength and the Lord is our shield, and we trust in him, guess what? We're going to get the help we need. It's when we don't allow him to be our strength and we don't allow him to be our help. If it's when we don't allow him to be our shield, we don't get the help we need. And when we don't get the help we need, you know what happens? It becomes about us. And then you know what happens then? We begin to worry because we're not leaving it to God. And even amongst believers today, anxiety and worry is probably one of the most raging sins there is. Joy is something that will actually become our strength. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10 said this, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them, for nothing is prepared. For this day is a holy day unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now, what does that mean? That means that if I can find an emotional choice to believe in the unchanging nature of God, and I can always focus on God, and I can look unto Jesus, and I can remember God and who he is, and I keep those attributes in front of me, and I keep my focus on him, you know what's going to happen? That's going to be my strength. That's going to be my stronghold. When I turn through circumstances, it's going to be my opinion that God, what God can do in this circumstance, and what God can perform, and how God can work, and how God can move, and I'm going to leave it to God. Does that mean I ignore it? No, I believe the word of God, and God loves me, he cares for me, and he wants us to pray to him, and he not only tells us to pray, he tells us to pray without ceasing, and he gives us examples in the parables about how we continually go to him, and it's because of our importunity that we can't do anything, but God can do all things. But when I am worrying and I'm anxious, I'm not going to God. Instead, and believing, I'm thinking about what I might do or what must happen. The quote, there's a quote that laughter and anxiety cannot coexist. And I'm wondering, can worry and faith coexist? Because in my mind, if we're worrying about something, means that we're picking it up and carrying it. Faith means we're giving it over to the Lord. The Lord, this word moderation that you see here in verse number 5, as I mentioned, it refers to a mild, gentle, sweet reasonableness, a contentment. Because the Lord is at hand, we can rejoice in who God is, and we can believe who God is, and we can have a thankful heart because we rejoice in the Lord, and we can be that gentle, and we can be a sweet reasonableness to all men because of the fact that God is there with us. So the first thing I want you to think about, instead of worrying, rejoice. That's the first point, is rejoicing instead of worrying. Second thing is what's given to us to do is pray instead of worrying. You say, Pastor, what am I supposed to do then? I'm supposed to just say some words and it's supposed to all go away? Well, that's what the scripture says. It's praying, and pray believing that God is in control. And the third point is trusting instead of worrying, is because this word prayer here, as I mentioned, is a generic term. It's used as an action of prayer, is interested in just addressing God. This word supplication talks about seeking and asking and entreating. It speaks of a persistence and urgency in our prayer. Our natural tendency is to worry, but to worry is detrimental to our growth in faith. It says, be careful for nothing, which means worry about nothing, but in everything. And what does those words mean? It means in everything. Even when something seems so unrealistic, seems like it seems so overwhelming, it means that in the prison cell with Joseph, it means being against Goliath with David, it means with Daniel in the lion's den, there's people that had perfect peace, there's people that was not worried and was not concerned. How can they live that way? It's because they've given their hearts and their thoughts over the Lord. They have captured the imagination. You think the devil was trying to talk to him about being eaten by lions? I'm sure. You think the devil was talking about how big Goliath was to David? I'm sure. You think Joseph didn't hear your brothers hated you, they sold you into slavery, and now the butler's forgotten about you? I'm sure he did. But instead of worrying, instead of being concerned, their thoughts and their mental capabilities was not about what was going to happen or what could happen. Their thoughts and their mental capabilities were focused on a God that can do all things, and they reflect this, and they say, and everything by prayer. They have an action of praying and addressing God. And not only that, they do it persistently, and they seek his face, but they do it with thanksgiving. They don't just do it in a woe is me, the world is coming to an end. They come from that perspective. I believe he's God. I believe I should have joy in him. I believe he can do all things. I believe he's the creator of the universe. And that's why it's important that we begin with praise when we talk to the Lord. And that's why it's important that we continue to remember who he is and what he's done and remember the promises of God. And as we remember the promises of God, we give them to God and say, you know what? I don't have to be worried about this. I don't have to be anxious about this. I don't have to be careful about this. I can give this over to the Lord, and I'm thankful I can give this over to the Lord. And Lord, I'm thankful I can bring this to you, and I can lay this at your feet, and I don't have to do anything about it because I can't do anything about it. But Lord, whatever way you want me to do something and however you want me to react, please show me these things. And it says, let your requests be made known unto God. He's telling you he wants to know. And here's the thought then. He said, well, if God knows about it anyway, why do I need to talk to him? When we take the moment in time and we get on our knees or we bow our head, we close our eyes, or even just when our thoughts go to God, we are relinquishing the fact that we can do anything about it. And we are saying, Lord, I understand that I need you and I am dependent upon you, and I'm making my request made known unto you because you're able to do all things and because I do not want to worry about this, because I want to give this over to you. So not only should we rejoice instead of worry, not only should we pray instead of worry, we should also trust instead of worry. There's a couple of thoughts here about worry. There's a quote, high adrenaline causes an overextension and stress depletes the brain's natural tranquilizers and sets the stage for high anxiety. He said, that sounds like a scientist. Well, what it's saying here is high adrenaline caused by overextension and stress depletes the brain's natural and sets the stage for high anxiety. It's the thought here that the brain works in a certain way, and when we cause us to be overextended, it depletes the brain's natural ability to calm us down and causes us to have high anxiety. High anxiety takes your thoughts captive. Remember, we learned that our thoughts are supposed to be brought into the captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ, which means I'm not going to worry. But anxiety takes your thoughts captive. You can't help but think about it. Anxiety is worry, is a sin. It is a lack of trust and pride in the idea that I can't trust God to do it. I must take care of myself. Worry is a mental state that you actively or passively accept. Oh, it's just the way I am. I have to be that way. Worry is a sin to be repented of because it shows I don't have the faith to believe God is able to. And pray with thanksgiving. Gratitude never comes from avoiding difficulty. It comes from finding yourself believing in a God that can help you through the difficulty. Last but not least is trust. And I love this verse. It says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You say, Pastor, it all sounds good, but you're looking at me, a person that worries all the time. You're looking at a person that can't get victory over this. Once again, you're trusting in yourself. You're not trusting in the God that says, be careful for nothing. But Pastor, I have this problem, and I have this problem, I have this problem. I can't just ignore it. I'm not asking you to ignore it. I'm asking you to cast your cares upon him. I'm asking you to understand that the weapons of warfare, they're not carnal, they're spiritual, they're mighty through God, that we come to him and we bring it to him and we let him fight and let God fight through us through prayer, and we let God fight through us through a testimony. We give God an opportunity to work. We capture those thoughts into the obedience of Jesus Christ. We leave it at Jesus Christ. And then we trust God that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep us. The point is, do we think God can? We trust God with our souls. We have peace with God. The peace of God speaks of a positional peace. Our peace comes from God through salvation. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, rejoice, and the hope of the glory of God. As choir sang tonight, they did a wonderful job. Our hope is Jesus. We have peace with God positionally. We know that we are going to go to heaven someday, and we have the peace of God. No longer are we an enemy. We have peace. We've made peace with God, and we have that hope, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the fact our hope is in Jesus, and our hope is in God. But God can take that peace and also produce the peace of God in our heart daily. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I don't know about you, but I enjoy the time when people feel like they have peace. We mentioned Miss Sandy a few times today. She even when she was at death's door a couple of different times, I know where I'm going. I got peace. I think most of us could say that. Most of us say that. I know based off what the Bible says and based off because my faith that I can go to heaven someday, that's the peace of God. I don't have to worry about dying. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen to me in the next world or the afterlife. But what God is saying is that not only can you have that peace, but you can also have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You say, I don't understand how that can happen. That's what it's saying. It's passive all understanding. It means that we can have that peace if we will learn to trust in him and keep our eyes focused on him. That will keep him in perfect peace. It's not talking about the day that we go to heaven and about what's going to happen in his life. It's talking about that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And here's the point is we can trust God. So instead of worrying, we should trust God. We should memorize that scripture and say, he has promised me what? That he will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We don't have to do it. He's going to do it for us. So why do we worry then? So I don't want anything to ruin your thankfulness. I know sometimes people would say, you know, if the turkey got burned on Thanksgiving, the person who cooked it might say, it ruined Thanksgiving. It didn't ruin Thanksgiving. There's a thankfulness that's supposed to be there all the time. But there are things that will, if we allow to happen into our lives, that will worry, that will ruin our thankfulness. One is if we begin to compare ourselves to someone else. We say, well, if I just had that, what that person had, we are very thankful and happy for what we have until we start looking around and think, why didn't I get that? It takes our heart of just rejoicing and contentment and believing and trusting that God's given us what we needed, and we begin searching around for the things that we really, truly, that God never intended us to have. That will take away our thankfulness. That thought of expectation, that thought of entitlement, that thought of God is supposed to work this way and this way alone. If God does not work this way, guess what's going to happen? I'm not going to be thankful anymore. And we use those as examples that when people expect certain gifts and they don't get what they want, they become disappointed. They should be thankful for anything that they receive, but instead they're expecting, and that thought of expectation can rob a person of their thankfulness. And then also forgetfulness. As we talked about today, we have gotten so busy in this world today that we forget to take time to be thankful. Just a few minutes, we're going to remember what the Lord did. And the reason why he instituted the Lord's Supper is because we need to be reminded. We need to take those few minutes of remembering what he sacrificed for us. But also with this thought of worry, it's so easy to do. It's one of those things like comparison. It's one of those things like anticipating and expecting. It's one of those things like forgetfulness. Worry is something we don't even consider a sin. Worry is not something that we would even say it's wrong to do. We sit there and we even use the word, I'm worried about this. But the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. And what he's saying here, have your faith and trust in him. Do we trust him to take us to heaven? We do. If we trust him to take us to heaven, we can also trust him to keep our hearts and minds. And that we do not have to be careful or anxious for anything. So this message, I think, is important. This passage of Scripture, I think, needs to be preached on a regular basis because there's so many of us that don't view worry as there's anything wrong with it. But the Scriptures teach us something different. When we worry, it stops our growth in faith. When we start being anxious and have anxiety about things, we're not growing in our faith. We're not learning. Give those things over to the Lord and have the trust. So instead of worry, rejoice. Rejoice in what? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Instead of worry, pray. He says that. Pray. He says, make your request known to the Lord. And it says, with thanksgiving. Then also thirdly, don't forget to trust in him. That's the key. We all know what the Scripture says, but do we believe he can accomplish it in our lives? God is able if we allow him to. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. Are you a worrywart? Are you someone who worries all the time? That's something that we must confess to the Lord and get our hearts right. Something he desires for us to fight against. If we don't fight against it, you know what's going to happen? We're going to be anxious.